Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode. Welcome back to Reiki Cafe Radio. I'm your host, Christine Renee. And today we're doing something a little unique over here on Reiki Cafe Radio. We have got an amazing guest with us, but she has requested to remain anonymous because of the sensitive nature of our conversation. Today, we are going to be talking about plant medicine ceremonies, why ceremonies are so important. And so we're bringing on a guest who is a graduate of our shamanic Reiki practitioner training. And she has we've had a lot of experience and background together, and she's full of wisdom and knowledge. I'm really excited to have her on. And I hope that you can all understand why she would want to keep her identity honored and sacred and secret. So with that, I'm really excited to start this conversation off. So today we're going to be talking about why ceremony is important and how it can impact your life and the beauty that it can bring into your world. So I'm really excited to start off this conversation. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. So I'm curious, how did you get into providing ceremony, and what does that mean to you?
I got into providing ceremony. I'd say the journey started longer ago, when the plant first called to me. And I am not a person that has done at that point. I'd only tried alcohol a little bit. I had never smoked weed. I had never tried anything stronger than Sudafed for a cold. and it hit me. I wanted to try psilocybin. Not only I wanted to, I needed to. The plant was calling to me at that age. And so I acquired some, as generally most people do still these days, which is underground. And I went on my journey, and it was magical and it was amazing. I have only, I've done it, I'd say rarely through my life, through there, when more often than not, there's other people wanting to use that plant recreationally. And I have a good relationship with the plant, and I would always say, okay, yep, I'll be your babysitter is what we called it. Mm-hmm. I'll be your babysitter. I'll make sure everything's okay. Make sure, we're all doing well. So that was stepping into it, because I would only use the plant when I was called to. And, for however many decades now that it's been around, it's been largely used recreationally, and as a party drug, as an enhancer to an experience, as an add-on instead of drinking or smoking weed and adding psilocybin and adding, if it was, acid, LSD, it doesn't matter. And it was never that way for me. It never had that attachment. It didn't have that energy for me. So I had the clues right from the outset. I knew that it was special, that it could be useful. And then holding that space, being the babysitter for people for a long time. And as in the early 2000s, when regulations started shifting and changing around not only psilocybin, but other pharmaceutical, recreational substances, research started opening up. And it was, all these pieces were used in research for mental health issues, illnesses, to help people resolve and overcome them, just to research how it affected them and what it looked like after. And that was stopped fully by Nixon and the war on drugs. All the research stopped. And the beauty of it, the turnaround of it, is that in the 2000s, people were really pushing. There's one person in the industry that ended up going to school and doing all of the legal stuff. And his thesis was how to make things safe and legal to come back into the research area, because this is a big passion of his. He always wanted to be a therapist who would conduct ceremonies for people's healing. So he took that route, and then it started filtering in little by little. And people were finding, again, that it's not just a recreational thing. That's how it lasted in our culture in the U.S. That's how it lasted in the European culture. And they were some of the first over in Europe to allow research to start again. And then we tagged on and said, okay, there's actually value here. There's actually real healing that can be accomplished. It's been underground for so long. People are still using it. It doesn't go away. It still exists within the culture with Maria Sabina, who was one of the shamans left to conduct ceremonies with this. She introduced it to the U.S. culture through a banker, of all things, who he and his wife were amateur scientists excited about mushrooms. And it was on the cover of Time. And this is back in the, 40s or 50s? Cover of Time magazine. They're talking about psychedelic mushrooms. And psychedelic wasn't even a term back then. And so the energetic feeling of this plant has maintained. It doesn't, people could use it recreationally, but they were still finding healing. They were still finding, though, they would go to a concert and take psilocybin in whatever amount of dosage. They would come through the next day feeling differently, seeing differently, experiencing differently, perspective shifts, whatever their journey was. And that's the evolution for me. I was feeling and tapping into that energetically. I was seeing it in the culture. I was holding space for friends as they were wanting to use this. And oftentimes when I would be the babysitter, the experience of those people after the fact was, oh my gosh, I've used psilocybin before. I've never experienced it in that way. And so even before I went into intentionally holding ceremony, holding sacred space, it was already present just because of my relationship with the plant, just because how I felt about it, just because what I saw in it. And they would come through and I've never felt it that way, and whatever their experience, whatever their journey was. So the plant has always called to me. And now is a time when research is thriving, I'd say, at this point, with psilocybin, with other substances. People are really reaching out, people in other demographics that I have worked with personally across the ages. So even people in their 60s.
And I've even seen that there's people who are on their deathbed and this is how they want to exit the world. And I just find that like super fascinating. Like, what? Wow. What a wild way to go when you come into this space of your perception changes, your availability to see beyond our typical light spectrum. It feels like there's so much more beyond this that we can see under this medicine. And so I see it, and so coming through in so many different avenues and places, especially where it's it's fully legal, like Oregon, like there's a lot more availability to not only experiment scientifically, but have the experiences and have this feedback that is starting to come out. It's really fascinating.
It's really amazing. And the beauty of it is that it never went away. It was always underground. It was still available.
Right.
And the lovely piece with now that it is legal in Oregon, now these other demographics of people that weren't comfortable with it because it was this quote unquote illegal bad substance, that's already going to set you up if you were to even encounter it to say that's a bad thing. So you're not going to engage and use it, even though it's this beautiful healing medicine from the earth.
Yes.
That we have partaken in as a species for all of time before the war on drugs.
Right. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure like this was the thing that helped our evolution.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like here we are like, you know, hunter gatherers and trying to understand the world in a different way. It wouldn't surprise me if like there's the roots of this medicine goes back, you know, tens of thousands of years.
It really does. I think it's just always been, they're finding as they find, dig sites for archaeological projects that they're working on, they're finding bits and pieces of plant material. They're saying, yes, this is classified in that mushroom category. This is a psychedelic mushroom.
Yeah.
And so they're finding, yeah, little trace amounts throughout history, just tying that, drawing that line back of, yeah, this has always been part of us. So why are we scared of it is what our society said. That's what our culture said. This is something to be scared of. Don't open your mind. Don't expand. Because what psilocybin does and how it affects our brains is just how it grows in the earth. It creates that network that connects it all under the ground, that lets trees talk to each other. That's because of the mushroom. It does that in our brains too. It expands, it affects all parts of our brain, and it lights them all up. All of those neurons are firing. And what that allows us to do is push against our defense mechanisms and really push against those and break through them and pass them to expand and open up completely to all that really has been available all along. We just had different barriers in front of us that didn't allow us to see it, to feel it, to touch it. And that is the beauty of this plant. It is an expansive, mind-opening, gentle plant that allows us to heal and grow, not only as individuals, but as a species, as humanity.
Yeah.
And it connects us back with nature, tying us back in, reminding us that we are all connected, and this is how it feels. This is it's kind of like a remembering.
Yes. Well, and I think I love that you use that word remembering, like we are remembering who we are at a divine and molecular level. And I think especially in our culture where the institutionalized systems really want us to believe and act in a certain way and see the world in a certain way. And then you have this medicine that allows you to see beyond our current scope of reality and lets you see the depth into which nature can play a part. I mean, it's just can be such a powerful medicine under the right circumstances. Like there's definitely, you know, the quote unquote, the bad trip. And I always go back to, well, did you have the guy? Did you have the quote unquote babysitter? Did you have a shamanic practitioner is willing to hold space for you in that? And I think that's where, you know, part of the bad rap comes from is from those bad experiences. I'm like, well, where did you get it? Who grew it? How was it found? Was it just in nature or was it cultivated? Who was the cultivator? Like, I want to know all of those layers of going, well, what brought you to this place, that quote unquote negative experience, and going, was it actually your shadow just trying to reveal itself to you so that you could see what you needed to heal and work on?
Yeah. And I think oftentimes for people who do have those quote unquote bad trips, if they were in a sacred and safe space, if they were coming into it with the ceremony, with that intention and growth in that direction, it would have looked completely different, because you'd have your guide with you when you encounter, if it's shadow work, if it's shadow self showing up, if it's, you know, some variation of existential crisis that you're working through, to help protect that space and hold it for you and maintain it in love and light. So you know that you are surrounded and imbued with love and light while you do your healing work, being mindful of the intention, saying, yeah, this is the awareness coming in. This is what I'm being called to look at and to heal. And is our healing always pretty and easy? I'd say rarely. Mm-hmm. I would say rare. I mean, when we're looking at our deep work, there's going to be a lot of uncomfortable things. And when you think about how this plant works, again, pushing against those defense mechanisms that we have, our defense mechanisms are coming into supposedly support our egos and protecting our ideas of self. Yeah. And this plant breaks down the entirety of yourself. And knowing that that's how this plant works, does that sound like an easy experience? For some people, it is. They're so ready to let go of the trauma, of the negative, of the old story, whatever it is. They cannot wait. It's pedal to the metal. Let's do this. I am excited to see all the demons. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then some people are coming in saying, I know this is work I'm being called to do. I am apprehensive. I need support. And that's where really guides come in, and Reiki, shamanic Reiki practitioners come in. Because if there are any negative entities attached in there, if there are any bridges to cross, that's where that support is really, really helpful. That's what turns a bad trip into a healing trip. That's what turns it into a growth and a learning and growth mindset trip. That's where it opens you up, because you have that knowing that you are safe and that you are in a place of safety, of caring, of love, to be free to experience anything that you need for your healing, for your greatest good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment. There's no set route. No one's telling you where to go. This is where the plant gets to help you, tell you where to go. And this is where the sacred medicine of that space, as a shamanic Reiki practitioner, all of my medicine is imbued with Reiki, with the intentions. It's individual for each person. If they have an intention going in, I would like to work on this. I work with the energetics of the earth. I work with the season that we're in, bringing those energies in to come into that experience through the plant, infusing it with that energy, helping support this person with their intentions for their healing journey, and asking that it take them to where they need to go. So usually when people are taking this recreationally, none of that exists. It's like, oh, that's a fun thing.
Right.
And that'll be a bad trip because you're at a concert or you're at a, you know, a gathering.
Or it just is not focused, you know, like the intention is so important. And so it could just be, you can do it recreationally and have it just be a fun time, but it's not utilizing it to the depth of that it's capable of. Like,
exactly.
Right. And so I'm like, I remember the first time I did, I tried psilocybin, and it was over 20 years ago, and I was camping on an island off of Alaska, and it was gorgeous out. And, you know, we were on an island that didn't even have motorized vehicles. Like, it was really, we had kayaks and like nature to play in. So it wasn't for a concert or anything like that. It was just in touch with nature. And I remember not knowing the, you know, quote unquote expectations or rules around how to approach the medicine. And so I remember one of my friends like handing out, you know, our mushrooms, and they're like, okay, everyone go take it and we'll meet back here in a little bit or whatever. And I came back and they were like, well, did you set your intention? I was like, no, no one told me to do that. Like, I'm a newbie. You're supposed to tell me what to do. Yeah. And they were like, no, no, go back to your tent and just, you know, meditate for 5 minutes on what you want. Like, even though it's already like in the process of digesting, like you need to set an intention.
Okay. Yeah. And even, you know, that's the thing is at any point you can be mindful, bringing that energy back in. You're like, oh no, I forgot this. Ah, you can always shift that energetically, setting that intention, bringing in the aspects of the healing.
Right.
Asking the plant to be gentle, to be kind, to show you and reveal to you what it is you need to heal.
Yeah.
All of those intentions coming in, that can come in even after you've eaten it. And if you don't have a guide, you, like you said, you had to go back and oops, okay, no one told me. That's not
reframe.
Yeah. And that doesn't, again, necessarily mean it's going to be a bad experience. It just is like, why wouldn't you, if that's what you're looking for, why wouldn't you do all that you can on the front end to make sure that you're going into it with the proper mindset and a safe setting with ceremony and intention imbued and surrounded and flowing all the way through, knowing that you are held in a sacred space from start to finish.
And I think that's the biggest difference between like doing psilocybin with ceremony and without ceremony. Like in ceremony, the intention is throughout the whole experience. Like whether that is calling directions and setting intentions and creating the sacred space and offering Reiki during the process, like all of that can be very nourishing to the mind, body, and spirit while you are, they have partaken in the medicine. And, you know, I feel like so often I hear that when people do psilocybin in this manner, it's like, you know, tenfold what a therapy session is. Like there's so much healing available to come forward if you are doing it appropriately. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. That like, why not? Why wouldn't you do it this way? And, you know, and obviously I'm biased. Like I would always choose ceremony and spiritual practices over recreational. That's just who I am. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it's understanding that on the front end. And that's where, you know, if you were going to come to me and say, yes, I want to do this. This sounds like a really fun trip. That would be like, let's have a little conversation.
Right? Like that's a little bit of a red flag. That's not exactly what I do.
Yeah, that's not all of it. Yeah, it can be very fun, but it's still going to have all of those components with it. And it's just understanding who you are and where you're at on your journey and what it is you're seeking.
Yeah.
And again, the intention is so important. What it is that you intend to do. Why do you want this plant? Why do you feel that it would be helpful to you? And having that conversation and diving in deep and energetically making sure it's aligning with who you are and where you're at on your path.
Right.
Because you can say yes to things. We've all done it, saying yes. And that was really not a great idea. I should not have done that, but I did learn that was those feelings going into it. I should have listened to my inner voice. I should have listened to my knowing.
Right.
That was my learning. Right. So you can have that experience and maybe, you know, and that's the experience you needed to learn that lesson. And so anybody that I would work with, there's always going to be a conversation clarifying things on their behalf for them to make sure that this is the experience that you're looking for, that this is what is calling to you. Because if that's not what's calling to you, then I'm not going to be the person for you. This is how I work with this plant. This is how this plant shows up for me and what it's asking me to do, what it's asking me to help facilitate with other people. And I have a deep respect for that, and I'm going to honor that. And I think it's so important that people just take a little time to check in with themselves to see if they're going to honor the essence of that plant in the same way. And that's how you know if a guide is right for you, because again, it's been underground for so long that it was easier just to grab a certain amount and just, sometimes people don't even know how much to take. They don't know how much to take, and they take so much. It's too much, and it's too intense, and it's over the top. And that's not a great experience either. It doesn't mean that it's the plant that wasn't good. It's the setting was not supportive and conducive to doing your healing work.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just want to like quote that. Like that's perfect. And I think that what I really love about that is like, there's work on the front end, there's work during, and there's work after. Like when we look at it from as a healing opportunity, it's not just something you do willy-nilly. It's not something you do just because, or just because you heard it was fun. There's so much more that can be integrated into this experience to really optimize it. And so when you have like, okay, I know that I'm going to be participating in a month or 2 weeks or a week from now, whatever it may be, of going, how can I start meditating on it? How can I start asking my higher self what needs to be revealed to me? What's going to be my intention? Let it show me in signs or in my heart space of like, what do I need to be working with during this time in ceremony? And having that upfront practice. And sometimes for people, that means that they go on a dieta, or they go on a special detox diet, or they prepare themselves in a way to honor the upcoming experience. And I love that process of like preparation. And then you have the experience. And then I also really feel like the after part is really important, that integration time of like, okay, you've had this phenomenal experience, this mind-blowing alterations of like how you look at the world or how you look at yourself or whatever it may be. And then how do you integrate back into normal life? And what does that look like? Where is the support there? And I think that oftentimes is missing. Like I recently saw a Simpsons cartoon where it was basically like, you know, you got to do the shadow work, not just eat shrooms.
The Simpsons, classic wisdom for the ages.
Right. And I just thought it was hilarious because that's what quote unquote shrooms have got a reputation for, that it's just this playful thing and recreational thing. And it has that capacity to open you up to doing the shadow work. It has the opportunity to open you up to integrating the lessons and the learnings from the experience into your everyday life. And that's where real change occurs.
That is where massive shifts happen. Absolutely. And if you are left after the fact with this mind-blowing experience and you don't know where to go, if you don't have a guide to help you process through that, to ask you the questions, to find your answers, then you might be floating around and bumbling around for a while and just stumbling. And not that the lessons will be lost. I believe they will always be carried with, but they won't have the impact and the depth that they could have.
Yeah.
For your healing, for those shifts, for your perspectives changing.
Right. And I think too, like there's people who were on the like the recreational side of it, who just take it again and again and again and again, and like there's no integration time. It's just like night after night or week after week, they're just partaking. And what they're really doing is suppressing. They're suppressing their emotional baggage that's trying to come up, and they think that they're doing the healing work just by hitting it hard and often and regular at a pretty high dosage. And it's just like, you know, that's not the best way to approach the medicine. Like you're missing a lot of pieces. So I've definitely had people come in my world. They're like, oh yeah, you know, I did psilocybin for 10 years straight, every other day forever. And I'm just like, How's that going for you? Like, you know, like,
yeah. Well, tell me what you learned.
I mean, they're just, you know, they're just not all the way with it. They're not like grounded in their body and into their experience. And like, they don't really have the language to say what they learned from that. And I'm like, well, did you actually do any healing work? Or like, I'm like, sounds like you just played a lot and ignored reality. And this isn't, approaching it as like, this is an escape mechanism isn't healthy either.
Exactly. And that it's just, there's so many things that we have available to us to use as escapes.
Yeah.
Starting with the phone in your hand, right? I mean,
totally.
There's so many things. And I figure if you're going to make the effort to acquire this plant, why not make the effort to be intentional with it?
Yeah.
To see where it can really take you because it's available to you the whole time.
Right.
And again, that's where that intention comes in. And if your intention is to escape, it'll absolutely help you do that.
Right.
But that doesn't move you forward on a healing journey. It keeps you where you're at and maybe feeling better and maybe checking out for a while. And that was nice and your stress was gone. And then it comes back. And so you dip back into whatever the escape mechanism is. And if you don't have anyone around you saying, hey, this could be so much more. This could do so much more and show you so much more and help you. Then you're just using it the way you do, because that's what you want in the moment. And it's that immediate gratification, which also our society is very big on, immediate gratification.
Totally. So. I'm curious, how has the shamanic Reiki skill set supported you in doing this kind of work? Do you have any examples or where the tools show up, or if you're shamanic journeying for the clients, like how does that play a role?
Doing a journey for one-on-one individual clients, I'm always using the shamanic Reiki practices. I'm always journeying on their behalf. And an amazing thing happens is because they're so much more open, there's so much more of a download on my end. And the healing is fast-tracked so much. Someone I worked with within the last few months, in the beginning of the spring equinox, when we step from that threshold space of deep winter, energetically, that deep winter threshold, when it's just that pause. Energetically, the shift happens in spring, where you're stepping off the threshold, you're stepping forward, and you're going to start manifesting. You're going to start bringing those intentions into your life to start growing, creating, and opening up, whatever that means for you. And this is a client I've worked with for a while. And one of the pieces that this client has struggled with is how they show up in the world. Not in the sense of what's my purpose in that way. Part of it was there, but I'm here, but what am I actually doing? What am I accomplishing? I'm working on all my deep healing work with you, and I've been doing this deep healing work. But I don't understand how I got here. Why do I have the parents I do? Why do I have difficulty in relationships? Why am I not married? I was married, divorced. I've tried many relationships. They just don't work out. So this experience was huge. Energetically, it's like opening up the tap to full blast is when the shamanic piece comes in, with being held in that Reiki energy during this plant medicine experience, with both of those things coming together. And he experienced what he experienced. On my end, it was showing up. Past lives came forward. There was one past life that was completely blocking and stopping all of the forward progress and the healing. So that's where that tool set is really helpful. I could work with that past life experience, allow the healing to happen, completely shifted, moved beyond and deeper into a past life experience again, where your purpose in this world is to show up and to completely imbue love. And the scene that was played out that I saw was this past life was a woman, and it was in a wartime, and there was a soldier that had a gun to her head. And in that moment, she showed up with love and said, "I love you. If you do this to me, I still love you. I am love. I am love incarnate. I am this universal love that always exists. And I give love to you. No matter what atrocities you do to me, this is how I show up in this world. This is my purpose." And so coming back to the end of the journey, going over the notes of the journey that I took on my end, on their behalf, that was so powerful. That broke down so many things. That answered the question that was always being, that was the answer being, you know, the sought after question. What am I doing here? How am I showing up? That's how you're showing up. No matter in what lifetime, that's a lesson that you've learned that was blocked from you in a different way. And that shifted the healing from that point forward. Amazing. So many things of fear around relationships, so many fear-based things that they were trying to work through and move through, just they didn't exist anymore. And the experience on that side, on their side of it, was along the same lines. And it's so funny how they mirror and they come so close. And it's the same piece. And it's the same message coming through. I'm able to see pictures in the way I do, hear the messages. And that's where those shamanic tools really, really, I'd say bolster that healing, bolster that journey, and add in. It's no longer broad strokes. It's here's some more information for you. And it's not necessarily full details, and it's not necessarily attaching to the story. It's attaching to the essence of story. And the essence is, it doesn't matter what difficulty and life-threatening thing in that instance comes up. This is how you've always chosen to show up in the world. This is how you will always show up.
Yeah.
And knowing that as an internal knowing just breaks down so many things when you have some answers, some of your answers that you were finally able to tap into and fully bring back into you and embody.
Yeah. So how long, like what would someone expect to experience? Like how long do you work with them beforehand? How long is the actual ceremony itself? And what's typical expectation to work with someone afterwards? Like, do you have like a standard, like this is the container, or is it different for every individual?
Yeah, it's always different for every individual. I always try to meet people where they're at, mm-hmm. and just honor that first and take a look. With anybody new, I prefer to have a Reiki session with, just to make sure they're energetically aligned, or at least a conversation where I have access and I ask to tap in to their energy, just to make sure they're aligned for this experience. And it depends on what kind of journey they want to go on. If it's a microdose, that's a very small dose. It doesn't mean that you're going to get, you know, sent to the moon, to outer space, deep to the core of the earth, to other galaxies. It means that you will feel and touch upon those things in any way that you do. It doesn't mean that you won't have profound shift and change and understanding around things. It means that a micro will be an a softer approach in if it's something that you have apprehension about. And it's okay to want to do a thing. It's okay to want this plant medicine and say, I still am apprehensive. I still am unsure. I don't know exactly. I'd rather go on the lower side. That's a micro journey. So that's about 4 hours, start to finish. A full day journey is 6-7 hours maybe. And that's up to a max dose, which, you know, so you're going from maybe people want to go on a micro journey and it's only a 10th of a gram. It doesn't have to be a lot. It needs to be, when I do micro journeys, it's always intense. So people can show up in real time and say, this is what I'm feeling called to do in this moment.
Yeah.
And some people say, yes, I've done journey work in this area. I've worked with this plant. I'm good with 5. That's my dose. And other people, nope, it's my first time. I'm apprehensive, but I don't want it to not work. That's another, is it working? Oh my gosh. Is it a thing? Just like your first Reiki appointment and you're laying on the table. Am I doing what I supposed to do?
Right. Totally.
And so honoring that there can be that kind of unknown piece to it and honoring and recognizing that, say, yeah, that's all part of it. You're stepping into the unknown. Let's do this together. Let's do it safely. Then they say, okay, I don't want nothing to happen. So I'm going to take 3. Okay. So you take 3, or I'm really apprehensive. I just want to see if it sits right with me. I'm just going to take the 1. And then, you know, the full dose, the full day goes up to 4 grams. There's not a lot of people that even want to. They say, I get enough with 2. More than enough. And it still runs through your system in the general amount of time. And the intensity varies depending on your dose and depending on what kind of healing work you're doing. And that's all. You can have extremely profound and deep healing work taking, you know, 0.3, where someone takes 1.5 and they don't reach that depth.
Yeah.
And
People have a lot of different range of, it goes by person to person of what their body is sensitive to. Like I'm really hypersensitive on any kind of medicine, whether it's Western medicine or otherwise. Like I'm super, super sensitive. And yet I know people in my life that like they like they don't feel it at all. Like they need such a high doses because that's their body, that's their chemistry. And so I think this is why I love the idea of like really working with someone who can help them navigate what's enough, what's not enough, what's your intention for this? Because we can just personalize it to exactly where you're at. It doesn't have to look like someone else's phenomenal experience. Like you can't do it that way. It's not about comparing yourself to others. It's about what is it that you as an individual, as a soul, ready to experience. And working with that guy can help you find that perfect balance, that perfect harmony of what's meant for you.
Absolutely. And someone else I had worked with, their very first journey, and I would not do this had I not worked with this individual before, went the full 4 grams, very first journey. That is not typical. That is not a standard seeker. However, because I was able to work with this person on the front end, have some shamanic Reiki sessions, this person was in alignment, very clear in their path and knowing what they wanted. First full journey was, yep, I'm going like, and I, so you get part and then you have the opportunity to take more. It was like, yeah, I'm feeling this. This is so aligned with where I'm at. I want it all.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't typically do that, but energetically I could tap in and I could feel the flow and I could feel, yes, that like this person is speaking their truth. This person is standing within their knowing.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, and I think I just love that so much because not only are you doing their Reiki sessions or shamanic Reiki sessions up front, you're tapping into their energy, or you know what their energy field needs. You possibly are feeling into what chakras are out of balance or where the healing is going to be most needed to direct to. And so you have that knowing. It's just like, this is kind of maybe a funny comparison, but it's the same way when I am working with a mom who's pregnant and they're getting ready for their birth, right? Like I want to have at least 2, 3, 4 sessions before the birth, because I'm going to know their energy. I'm going to help them come into balance and alignment to prepare for that experience. And I see that here in this conversation, like you can do this upfront, like front load it a little bit. Let's like help open and clear and get prepared and get ready for the experience to make it fully available. And I just love that. I think, so many things could, if we just had that approach for so many things in our life, like Let's front load it. It doesn't matter what it is. Let's just front load and prepare and set the intentions. And I just think that can be really powerful. And then if you are getting supported on the back end on that integrative work of going, you know, having someone to call and be like, whoa, it's been 2 days, but I'm feeling really X, Y, and Z. Like, what can I do? And having that person who has that wealth of knowledge of knowing what to say to that, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, to be fully supported, full circle supported.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I wish we all had that in our lives in all aspects. I really do. And I would like to continue to create a community and a culture and a whole society that supports that.
Yeah.
Because really, that's how we can all show up as our best selves, when we have that entire support.
Yes.
And I think, you know, with plant medicine work, you can do the front loading, but part of the front loading is understanding on a deep level, you are stepping into the unknown. But instead of stepping into the unknown and it's unsafe, it's I'm stepping into the unknown and I am supported and I'm held in love and light. And I know that whatever's coming for me is for my greatest good. It's for part of my healing journey. And that will in turn be for the greatest good of everyone.
Yes.
And that makes stepping into the unknown feel like not only a safe space, but then an exciting opportunity. I have this opportunity that I am choosing to work with this plant that can take me to places I never thought I could go before. And I'm excited about that. The unknown is no longer a scary thing of, you know, shadow work, of a bad trip. It's like, yeah, there may be some very difficult aspects in there, but there's someone anchoring me. There's someone that's holding this space that's helping to guide me through this if I need the support.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I'm off on my own journey, seeing the things I see. And I know they're still there, but I don't need them because I'm already in the safe and sacred space being held.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. I love it so much. And I'm so happy that you have been able to find a space for you to do your work, your passion, in a way that feels safe for you. As our society starts to catch up, like, I really do feel like psilocybin is going to be the next, sacred medicine that becomes legalized. And I think that is the way it should be. Like, I feel like there's definitely there's a safe way to do it. And before we got on the call, you were telling me about how there are certain therapists that are approved to use this work in their practice. And I'm just like, we're heading in the right direction. It just gives me that, like, okay, we're heading in the right direction. And the more and more scientific studies come out and the more people have positive experiences shared, I think it's all going to come together where people are less afraid of the unknown and willing to explore what kind of feels like multidimensional realities. It feels like we're so stuck in the mundane, and people are waking up in their own way. And this is an avenue to do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, for our society and how it's structured around drugs, quote unquote, a way that it has become more societally okay to even talk about and think about using is because of the research that's happening. And the research that's happening is specifically around mental health issues. And it's a little bit interesting because they're researching so many things, and psilocybin's coming in as a panacea of, we're working with anorexia, bulimia, we're working with OCD, we're working with anxiety, we're working with depression. How can one plant help across the board anything you're looking into? And it legitimizes it for people in our society that have, again, been opposed to it because it's a quote unquote drug and it's bad. And now it's, oh, well, science is doing it. That's okay then. It's safe. Yeah. It's just that little switch. That's what they needed. And so they're stepping in, and there have been people in a Yale study. There's one individual who had one psilocybin experience, OCD completely gone from the time he was 6 years old.
Wow.
And into his adulthood, he has his first child, and OCD completely gone.
Yeah.
So the fact that our society and our global society as a whole is now opening up and legitimizing this in a way that the general public can hear.
Right.
Helps even more. If that's how it's coming back in, great. There's a scientist and researcher who worked with this in a facility in Canada. And in that place, when the research was being shut down by this war on drugs that kind of swept the globe, he was the last person to dose. And then they opened it up again in the last 20 years. I don't know exactly when. And he was able to step back into his work, step back into his calling. He stayed in his field, but he was so sad because of all of the beautiful progress and healing this helped. They were working with terminal cancer patients. And yes, you're going to die. But their experience of death and how they saw and viewed death after one psilocybin session drastically and dramatically changed for them. So he got to step back in doing the research that he's always been called to do and love. And now he's, you know, close or is in retirement, but he's working because he loves this so much. And now it's a family legacy. His son got his PhD so he could continue doing this work. So the more hands we have this in, and the more, like, they have their own intentions they're coming in with, they have their own ways of presenting it. But the fact that people are genuinely intrigued and increasing the numbers of people who are saying, whoa, this can touch all of those things that people are struggling with in our society and on the whole, our globe. This is amazing. It's just each piece brings more legitimacy, making it more okay, making it less of a scary thing. And then pushing beyond that, making it a thing that people are seeking, that really see as a tool for their healing, that our government just cut off from us.
Right.
How can you make an entire plant that's been here longer than any of us illegal? It's a medicine from and of the earth that's here to help us.
Yeah.
So getting that message out, getting that filtered in, just raises the vibration, the general vibration of humanity. Yes. And of people even interested in it, especially in this research world where it has been this taboo thing. They have people that are not typical candidates, we'll say, participating in research. So it's someone who doesn't even drink, who's very Catholic and very structured in their belief systems and how they see the world. That was a highlighted interview because it's a demographic you wouldn't think would even be interested.
Right.
And again, cancer patient, that was in the cancer research. And she is so grateful to this medicine for showing her what it did, for experiencing what she did, for her journey. And it shifted so much for her after the fact. So when you have more people stepping into from what seems like an outlier group, each person that does that saying, this isn't a bad and dangerous, it can be, again, anything could be. You can drink too much water, and that is very detrimental to your health.
Right.
Anything can be. But the more that message gets put out into our culture, the more availability there is, the more openness there is, and the more healing can happen. And that's really what I want. I want healing for myself, for my loved ones, and really for everyone.
Yes.
That's my desire. That's my true desire. And this is a great tool that like can fast track people in their healing, can just jump them forward on their timelines and accelerate their healing to places they didn't even know they could go or wanted to go.
Yeah. Yes. And thank you so much for providing a sacred space to do that in. So thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us today. I feel honored that we figured out a way to create a sacred space for you to share your story, share your wisdom, share the understanding. And I hope that you can share with us some links to perhaps some of these articles or some of the stories that you're referring to. We can put those in the show notes.
Sure.
I would love that. And know that our upcoming Soul Rising retreat here in Bozeman, Montana, June 26th through the 30th, we aren't going to be offering plant medicine within that retreat, but there will be opportunities to participate outside of that container. So we've got some people who are vetted, who are available. And so if you're interested in today's guest speaker, or if you're interested in our upcoming retreat, please reach out to me directly. We want to have private conversations so that everyone who is interested in participating in this type of sacred ceremony, that we're doing it in a very safe way. So with that, thank you all for listening and being open-minded and hopefully expanding your understanding of what psilocybin can do for you and for your loved ones and for the world. We will see you next time. Thank you so much. Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University, watch our videos on YouTube, or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.